Hey, everybody, this is Pierre Quinn, and you're listening to the Leading While Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. On today's episode, episode number 9, I'm coming to you from my car again. And on this episode, I'll be talking about the importance of legacy, why you need to do a brain dump today, a focus on recommitment. We'll wrestle with the question of if, and of course, I'll plug the revision conference. So listen up. So I'm sweating profusely here in my car. I'm just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, in Matthews, North Carolina. And we stopped here for the night because we are on our way to Atlanta. We live pretty close to the Baltimore airport in Maryland, about 12 minutes away. And the trip from that area to Atlanta is about 10 hours. Matthews, Charlotte, North Carolina is about 6 hours, so a little bit more than halfway along our journey. And we're going to Atlanta because, unfortunately, my aunt lost her battle with cancer. So we're headed to Atlanta to be there for the memorial services and to spend time with the family. So kind of recording this podcast and going on this journey with a heavy heart. As I was thinking along the drive, I started wrestling with some thoughts related to legacy. And I was asking myself, if I have the unfortunate circumstance of dying tomorrow, what would be the legacy that I would be leaving for my family? As they read the life sketch or the obituary at my service, what would it highlight? And it would talk about 2 graduate degrees, 1 in communication and 1 in theology. It would talk about teaching college classes for nearly a decade. It would talk about starting my own business, the Cardell Group. And those things are okay. I guess they're cool. It would talk about how I pastored in multiple locations across the country, most recently a 600 plus member congregation in the Washington DC area. That would be nice. That would be good to read. But after you read those things and my name comes up in conversation, what is the focus of that conversation? Now there's some not so bright spots. There's some challenges that every human being faces, some aspects of personality and character that you're ironing out. And people may say, well, Pierre could be a bit of a jerk sometimes, or he was standoffish and reserved, or he just wasn't always as hungry as he should have been. Or sometimes he could be rude. You know, those things would come up. My friends, my family members who know me extremely well and have seen all aspects of my life would speak. I know them. They would speak honestly and openly. But I was wrestling with if those things would dominate the conversation. If the challenges and hiccups and mistakes would dominate the conversation, or if the impact I was looking to make in the lives of other individuals would dominate the conversation, because I would love for it to be an experience where if I died, that people would walk up to my wife and walk up to my children and say to them, listen, I wish I could explain to you the incredible amount of impact that your husband, that your father has had on my life. He counseled me. He mentored me. He had a conversation with me. I was in the congregation when he spoke at church. I was at a conference where he gave a keynote. I read some of his books, and that brief exchange or that long conversation moved me to reevaluate my life. And I'm doing some things differently because of my interaction with Pierre. And that's a good lasting legacy. That's something to build on. I know we talk about leaving our families in good situation financially, connected socially. We want all these doors to be open for them. That's why we do what we do. But there's nothing better than the value of a good name, and a name that is synonymous with impact and life change and turnaround and transformation and legacy, and being able to leave a legacy to my wife and to my kids of having been a man that helped people grow and change emotionally, socially, relationally, and spiritually. And just the death of my aunt was just another reminder that death is a great equalizer and tomorrow is not promised. And you need to live every day like it counts. Live every day like it matters, because it does matter. And live every day with your eyes open for an opportunity to impact other people positively. And I know we come from difficult backgrounds. We got family stuff. We got hangups. We got some rough situations that we are in. But you can still every day, even if it's just a person, the guy bagging your groceries, the person inside of the gas station. I mean, you can smile and have a positive interaction with most people if you're intentional. So take a few minutes and think about this today. If you had the unfortunate experience of dying tomorrow, what type of legacy would you be leaving for your family? What would you be leaving behind? Besides money, some of us have nice houses and cars and investment accounts, and those things are nice and valuable and helpful. But besides those things, when your name comes up in conversation after your death and your family is around to hear the conversation, what kind of impact will it have on them? And then live intentionally. Live now from this moment forward. Make a promise to live intentionally, to commit yourself to your passion, to commit yourself to your calling, to commit yourself to the dreams that I believe are God-given. God-given dreams require God-given strength and only come to life under God-led direction. How can you recommit yourselves to those things so you can leave a lasting legacy? Now, I know what some of you are thinking today, and you're thinking, I got so much that I want to do. You know, I don't know where to start. Where can I start? Now, before you talk about where to start, I need to plug this in you. Again, I'm recording this podcast from the backseat of my car. And if you've been listening to my previous podcast, you'll know that when I was on vacation several weeks ago, I was looking for a place to record, and I didn't have a place in the resort we were staying that was quiet enough. So I hopped in the car, had a Samson Go mic, USB mic, plugged it in and got with it because I made a commitment to this podcast. And when you're walking down this journey of dreams or goals or things that you want to accomplish, you got to be able to roll with the punches. I'm not at my desk. I'm not with my favorite microphone. I'm not in my comfortable chair. I'm not at my man cave, my spot in my house. I'm in the car and it's hot. I can't turn on the AC because that will create some background noise that I'll have to worry about filtering out. I didn't roll down the windows because, you know, anything could happen. A garbage truck could pass by. Birds could be chirping. Some errant conversation, whatever. So I'm in this car because it allows me to cut off the distractions. And this is not the ideal situation for me, but I'm looking at the outcome. The outcome is at the end of this time, I may lose a couple of pounds because I'm sweating hard like I'm in a sauna. But at the end of this time in this uncomfortable environment, I would have achieved the outcome of another podcast episode. So before you even start down the journey of okay, where do I go from here? You got to embrace the idea that the plan won't turn out perfectly as you write it. There'll be hiccups and challenges and construction along the way. And are you committing yourself to maneuvering with those challenges to meet your desired outcome? Okay, so where do we go from here? Where do we start? You need to do something that's called a brain dump. And I do this about once a month. Some people do it once a week. Some people do it once a day when they wake up in the morning or when they go to sleep at night, a brain dump. And a brain dump is you take a sheet of paper. Now, I'm a digital immigrant. My kids are digital natives, which means they grew up with technology, with modern technology at their fingertips. I'm a digital immigrant. I grew up in an analog world that was shifting towards the modern technology. So I grew up with the rotary phone. I grew up with a dad that had a legal pad everywhere. I grew up, cell phones were not commonplace. There wasn't always a TV in every room. I grew up with VCRs. So I grew up in an analog world, and much of me is still really analog. So I'm an advocate for paper and pencil. I just bought another leather-bound journal today, and I love capturing ideas and thoughts on paper. So I want to encourage you to take a sheet of paper. Some of you need poster board. Some of you can do with a not a sticky note. That's too small. Get a poster board, get an 8.5 by 11, get an 11:17. 11:17 is just putting 2 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper together, portrait side, up and down instead of left to right. Putting those two sheets of paper together, you'll have an 11:17 sheet of paper. You can tape it on the back and flip it over and just pour out everything that's on your mind, in your head, all your ideas, all your dreams, all your plans. Get it all out there. Some of us cannot sleep well at night because we got so much stuff in our head and we're thinking about it all the time. You need to get it out. You need to get out so you can see it. You know, you need to get it out so you can begin to process it. You need to get it out so you can connect the dots. You can bring the pieces together. In that jumbled mess that's inside of your head, you'll never operationalize anything. So you got to get it out on paper. And as you get it out on paper, you could then put the structure behind it. You can begin to see where the gaps are and see how you need to tweak and retool your plan sometimes. But I know what you're saying. I know why you keep it in your head. You keep it in your head for two reasons. One, once you start telling people some of the things that you're thinking about doing, you open up yourself to criticism. And you want everybody, at least I do, I want everybody to be excited about my idea. But here's the thing. It's your idea. You want everybody to be excited about your vision, but God gave it to you. Your dream, but God gave it to you. Your insider opportunity, but God gave it to you. He didn't give it to them. So you can't have the expectation that everybody will be excited about it. However, your excitement about whatever it is you feel like you're being called to do will rub off on others. It will be contagious because the truth is no one will ever be as excited about your thing, whatever your thing is, as you are. So you got to get out on paper and allow it to stand up to criticism and scrutiny. Some of our ideas need to be critiqued and criticized so that it allows us to dig deeper. Your first iteration of an idea is not your best. I had a podcast several years ago, and just recording the episodes for this podcast, I feel more energized, more intentional. I feel like this podcast is having more impact in 9 episodes than my previous one did. And the first one was a good idea. I got it out of my system. I tried out tools and tricks and insights and learned resources, but that wasn't my best work. And you keep forging ahead to get to your best work. The second reason why you don't want to get stuff out on paper, and I know, I get it, I've been there, I'm still there, is because it's safe in your head. It's safe and you won't have to be accountable. You want to avoid criticism. This is what we do. We try to avoid criticism and we try to avoid accountability. Once you start talking about what you're planning, then people are going to start asking for it. And it holds you accountable. If you keep it in your head, then you're accountable to no one. And you let yourself off the hook all the time. So get that stuff out of your head. Keep notebooks. I keep notebooks everywhere. I know my wife goes crazy every time she sees me buy a new notebook. But a lot of the thoughts and ideas that I jot down, I actually come back to years later or months later because I've been able to process them and get them out of my head. So you really need to do a brain dump and get those ideas out there and collaborate with other people who are doing brain dumps and see how you can work together. Get that stuff out of your head. It's trapped if it's just only in your head. And some of you may say, well, what if somebody steals my idea? Well, that's happened before. But what people cannot steal is the uniqueness of you. They can't steal the uniqueness of you. I'm an ideator, which means I got more ideas to shake than you can shake a stick at, whatever that means. Maybe I should find out what shake a stick at really means before I use it. But I just keep coming up with ideas, and people have taken some of the ideas and expanded on them and started things in their own space. And that's cool because I always have another idea. But no one can replace the uniqueness of you. And many times people move on ideas that you shared because you've held on to these ideas or you've teased out these ideas and you've been sitting on it for 5-10 years. You haven't done anything with it. And then someone is inspired by what you share. The book is Steal Like an Artist by Austin Kleon, and I'll put that in the show notes too. Someone is inspired by what you share and they move on it. And you can't blame them for moving on stuff that you originally had the idea, but you never moved on it. So get that brain dump out there. Get that notebook, get that journal. You may find yourself being able to sleep better at night because you got all of those ideas out at night instead of keeping them in your head. But you can't just keep them. You can't just write them down. You got to move on them. You got to activate those things. Listen, if you've been given insight, talents, abilities, skills, if you've been given a passion, you've been given a calling, and I believe all of us have one, and you don't move in the direction of that calling, you're really, that's not good stewardship. That's not good management of gifts. You can be excellent at your job, but if your job is not what you're called to do and you're called to do something else, that's really mismanagement of the gifts that you have been given. And it's really a call to recommit yourself. Recommit yourself to those dreams. Recommit yourself to your passion. Recommit yourself to your God-given calling. Well, I pastor a church close to Washington, D.C. And in our church, a few days ago, this past Sunday, depending on when you're listening to this podcast, we had a marriage vow renewal ceremony. I think there were about 15, 16 couples. And it was so great to watch these couples renew their vows, to get dressed up, to say things that they had written for each other, to look at each other's into each other's eyes lovingly again. And there were jokes and there were tears and there were hugs and there were smiles and there were pictures. And it was just a great time. It was a truly incredible experience to be a part of, to watch these couples recommit themselves to each other. And many of the couples talked about the good times and the bad times, battling sicknesses, battling things like cancer, battling ups and anxiety, battling being broke, battling the challenge of raising children and moving across the country and all of those things. And they said, many of them said, you know, they would do it all over again because of their commitment to each other. There was even a couple who was part of the vow renewal who did not have a regular traditional marriage ceremony. I'm not quite sure what regular traditional is, but they had the courthouse. They went to the Justice of the Peace and they got married there. And a lot of people do that because of time or convenience or money or whatever. And this was their marriage ceremony, the one that they wanted years ago. So it was incredible to be a part of their vow renewal and this first time experience of sorts for them. And just that recommitment, my wife and I, we've been married 10 years and we were going to do a vow renewal in Trinidad because that's where my wife is from. And that didn't work out. So we're looking at how we're going to reschedule our vow renewal and we'll call together family and friends to be a part of our ceremony as we recommit ourselves to each other again. When you look at your life, well, some of us, honestly, who are listening to this podcast, you need to renew your vows. You need to recommit yourself to each other. You need to remember why you started this thing the first time, especially in the midst of the challenges that you're facing right now in your relationship. And all of your relationships impact your leadership. Listen to me again. All of your relationships impact positively or negatively your ability to lead. So some of us on this need to renew our marriage vows. Throw in a dash of counseling with that too. That can help dramatically. But in addition to a renewal of a commitment to a relationship, some of us need to recommit ourselves to the passion and calling and vision that we've been given so many years ago. You hear people or sometimes even yourself say, man, I knew long ago I should have done X, Y, and Z, but I let time get in the way. I let my parents get in the way. I let culture get in the way. This isn't what I've been called to do, but I'm on the corporate, the golden handcuffs. I'm on the corporate track. I need the money and I'm just going to stick with it. And hopefully one day something will change. I mean, that's crazy, right? Isn't that the definition of insanity? That's crazy. One day hoping and wishing and praying something will change. Listen, prayer by itself. And you look at these stories in the Bible. It is rare that prayer alone is sufficient to bring things to reality. And I know some of you may be church leaders and theologians listening to this, and you're going to challenge me, and that's fine. But it's rare that prayer alone brings things into fruition. It's usually a prayer for guidance, a prayer for direction, a prayer for God, are you sure? Is this the right direction I'm supposed to go? And God promises victory or overcoming. He promises the outcome. But along with that prayer, he says, okay, this is what I need you to do. I need you to walk in this direction. I need you to put your feet in the water. I need you to pick up a stick. I need you to sing. I need you to do something along with the prayer. The prayer is you pray and I'm giving you the confirmation as the answer to prayer, but I still need you to put some work in. And many of us today, we pray and we want God to do everything for us. He says, I've given you the talents. I've given you the abilities, the skill, the strength, the resources. Now you got to put your hands to the plow. You got to put some work in. I've promised you the outcome. I've given you favor. I promised you the outcome. But you got to put some work in. And we do that in life. We say, hey, one day I'm going to keep praying and one day something's going to turn around. How is it going to turn around if you don't turn it around? How is it going to turn around if you don't take a step? It's like asking for God to give you a job and not filling out an application and not going on an interview because God's going to give you a job. Doesn't that sound crazy? Well, it's the same thing in the other areas of your life calling. God put it on your heart. He put the ministry on your heart. He put the transformation of your organization on your heart. He put the components of your leadership team on your heart. He put it on your heart. He gave you the vision for it that he didn't give anybody else. He gave it to you. And he says, I've given you the vision. I'm going to open up the doors. I've given you the strength and the creativity. Now I need you to put some work in. And because we didn't put the work in, or because life got hard, we backed off from our commitments. So how do you recommit yourself to the thing that's on your heart, to the life that you were called to live, to the impact that you were called to make? How do you recommit yourself to that? And how can you do that today? I'm reading a book called If by Mark Batterson. And I believe the subtitle is Trading Your If Only Regrets for God's What If Possibilities. It's If by Mark Batterson. And one of the things that Mark puts in the book, and I'll share a link in the show notes. One of the things that Mark puts in the book is this idea that in order for you to make the changes in your life that need to be made, you have to bet against yourself. What does that mean, to bet against yourself? There are some things that naturally you want to do. Naturally. And usually what you want to do naturally is in conflict many times with your calling and with your passions. For example, Mark talked about how people would ask him all the time, and he got this from this betting against you idea from his mentor. People ask him all the time, how do I become an effective writer or a better writer or more impactful writer? And he says, okay, if you want to become a better writer or more impactful writer, set your alarm clock for early in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, and get up and write every day. That's a bet against yourself. How is that a bet against yourself? Because naturally, most of us don't want to get up in the morning. We want to sleep in. We want to wake up at like 10 and kind of slide our way into our day and expect things to be turned around. He says, you need to bet against what you naturally want to do. And if what you naturally want to do is sleep in, then make yourself get up in the morning and commit to. And this is a line from the book that just floored me. He said, understand that every time, I'm paraphrasing, every time that you hit snooze, you're delaying your dream by 9 minutes at a time. Every time you hit snooze, you're delaying your dream 9 minutes at a time. How many times do you hit snooze in a week? And add up all of those minutes. And what if you were able to repurpose, reclaim those minutes? What if you use those minutes? What if it adds up to about 3 or 4 hours a week? Because some of us, well, how can you get 3 or 4 hours a week? Well, some of us hit snooze for 30 minutes. 30 minutes, 2 days, that's an hour. 4 days, that's 2 hours. 6 days, that's 3 hours. That's 3 hours of time that you could have used in the direction of your calling, of your passion, of your abilities, of your gifts. And just take 30 minutes. Betting against yourself is, I know you got your favorite television show that you watch. And it used to be special nights that we had to watch TV, but now with on demand and with DVR and a lot of these options, you can watch your show whenever you want to. But what if you said, okay, every night I'm going to take 30 minutes. I can find 2 hours to watch TV a night, I'm going to take 30 minutes from that 2 hours and work toward my gift, work toward my passion, work toward my calling. I'm betting against myself. It's basketball season. I got to watch my game every Thursday night. I watch the doubleheader, the 8 o'clock game and the 10 o'clock game or the 10:30 game. And the game goes off at like 1 o'clock in the morning. What if you said, you know what? For a month, I'm going to bet against myself. And the time that I normally spend watching the games on Thursday night, the basketball games, I'm going to use it working on my calling, my gift and my passion. You bet against yourself. He said, those who make great strides in life are the people who bet against themselves. And we're going to talk about making great strides in life at the Revision Conference, October 29th, Baltimore, University of Maryland, Baltimore campus, revision2017.eventbrite.com, revision2017.eventbrite.com. The tickets are just the lowest that we could possibly make them because we want everybody to come. We want everybody to be in the building. And listen, if you need to sponsor somebody, if you say, I can't make it, but I'm a sponsor four people. VIP is $52. I'm a sponsor four people. And I've been loving what I've hearing on the podcast. I want to come to Revision when it comes to my city, but I want to pour into, I want to believe this experience for somebody else. And I'm going to sponsor somebody. Hey, drop me a line, pierre@prcquinn.com. Drop me an email and say you want to sponsor somebody for the Revision Conference. This is a half day personal, professional and spiritual development experience designed to help you dream, imagine and plan again around the areas of your life calling. At the Revision Conference, we'll have inspirational talks. We'll have group coaching sessions. We'll have networking. We'll have brainstorming. We'll have strategy sessions, all designed to help you make the changes that you know you need to make. And when we had the first Revision Conference, I'm telling you, it was incredible. People walked away from that conference empowered, inspired, connected to go on to continue down the area of entrepreneurship. People lost weight. People sought further counseling and support for their relationships. People worked out a better schedule for a better quality of life. All of these things that came from being in the room with like-minded individuals who were wrestling with life change. The VIP session, that VIP intensive that we're going to do is going to be crazy. The first one, Dr. David Defoe, my good friend, Dr. David Defoe, who's a psychotherapist, he did it. He did our first VIP session. I'll be leading this VIP session at Revision Baltimore, and it's going to be incredible. We'll have intense Q&A with the presenter so we can dig deep on the principles that they shared. And I'm telling you, this is an experience. We could charge hundreds of dollars for what we're doing. People have said this is, it's that good. And many of the speakers at the conference have spoken at events where the honorarium for the event that they got from the event was more than really what it cost us to run this particular event. So we're giving it to you at a disc out of steel because we really believe in pouring into everybody on the squad. Everybody on the team, all the presenters believe in pouring into people. That's why it's so important for you to be at the Revision Conference, October 29th, Baltimore, Maryland, University of Maryland, Baltimore campus. I need you in the building. I need your team in the building. I need your family in the building. We want to pack the place out as we look at the areas of our lives where we are being called to dream, imagine and plan again. revision2017.eventbrite.com. We want to see you there. And I promise you, it'll be an experience that you won't forget. And just one more thing about legacy before I end this today. Take some time today and really say thank you to the individuals who mean a lot to you. Going to a funeral for my aunt. A lot of people will be crying there because they didn't get to say what they wanted to say. But make sure you say what you need to say. Give people their flowers while they're still breathing and can appreciate it and have those conversations. Don't wait until it's too late. Hey, that's all I got for this episode of the Leading Wild Green podcast, where my mission is to help you live, learn, and lead with confidence. And until next time, take care and God bless.